Lord, your sweet fragrance fills this room. It's just a peace that has settled upon us. Lord, I ask for their power to manifest this afternoon in ways that we can't even imagine. No matter what we say or do this afternoon, Lord, let there be such revelation. Let there be such an empowering. Yeah. Lord, that you might ambush many this afternoon when they least expect it. And I ask that you would order my words and just give me the gift of being able to convey what I want to convey, and no matter what I do, that they would get it. So we pray blessings in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, I think most of you were here this morning. So there was two things that I didn't cover that I want to cover ever so quickly. Things that I learned about along the way. Adrenal glands and afflicting spirits. When we open the door to the demonic, like through adultery or unforgiveness or any of those sins, where we willfully open the door, we allow the enemy to come in, we actually give him legal right. That's demonic. An afflicting spirit is demonic in nature, but it's where I liken it to a tick. That if you walk, I assume y'all have those, right? Ticks? Yeah. That if you're walking in the woods, and there seems to be a few woods around here, you're walking in the woods, you're not doing anything wrong, you're just sort of in the wrong place at the wrong time. And if a tick jumps on you and bores in, it can become a problem if you don't do something about it. That's like an afflicting spirit. And the way you know that it's an afflicting spirit, or at least you have a clue, is when the pain gets worse as someone is praying, or if it moves, that's an indication that it could be an afflicting spirit. And so it's a matter of, I come in the name of Jesus, I break the power of that afflicting spirit, and I cancel every assignment of the enemy. I've seen it where, in particular, someone had a frozen shoulder. Nothing that they knew of went wrong. They didn't do anything. It's kind of like with me when I woke up Thanksgiving Day and I couldn't move my arm. Well, this person was a flagger and a dancer, and her arm was frozen. She literally could not move her arm. And so as I prayed for her in that church, she said, the pain, it's moving. It's going down my arm. Ow, 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 ow. It's in my elbow. I break the power of that in the name of Jesus. Ow, it's moving again. Ow, it's down in my wrist. Ow, I break the power of that. I cancel that assignment. And then it's like it was in her fingers, and then it flew out, and her arm just went up. And for the rest of that little conference that we were doing, she was perfectly okay. I've seen that over and over and over. It's an afflicting spirit. The other thing is the adrenal glands. Your adrenal glands sit right above your kidneys on both sides. And in the natural, it's the fight or flight, the adrenaline that's in your body. In the spirit, it seems to stimulate the anointing. So we have this Bob Jones, who is a prophet. He's since gone to be with the Lord, but he did a lot of teaching on things like this. And he mentored a woman out of Texas who came with Randy Clark on one of the trips and was sort of experimenting with all of this. And so she and then various other people, like when Randy would be praying for someone, she would go to back him up. You know, like somebody would come alongside of you to back you up as you're praying for somebody. When she put her hand on her shoulder or his upper back, nothing really was happening. And he said, yeah, it felt cold. when she would put her hands on the adrenal glands, it was like he was stimulated, power would go out of him, and he said, it feels hot. So what we see is the biblical reference. When the woman with the issue of blood comes to Jesus, touches the hem of his garment, he felt power go out of him. And the woman felt power go into him. And I don't remember who it was, but they were praying for somebody. And I went up and did that. And they said they felt it. They felt it differently when I put my hand on their shoulders. They felt fire when I put my hand on their adrenal glands. And they felt an energizing. And they actually manifested. I don't remember who that was, but it was during that prayer this morning. They literally felt fire go through them. And the person who was being prayed for felt it. We see that over and over, where a lot of times we go and that's the universal we again. We, our team. We lay hands on the adrenal glands. It's like fire goes through them. They feel it. It reacts. It touches the person, and that's when they get healed. We've seen it over and over again. So I encourage people, if you're backing somebody up, don't lay hands on their shoulder or whatever. I mean, it's not that it's wrong. It's just that I think it's more effective down here. And there is scripture to support this. It's Habakkuk 3:4, maybe. There was rays flashing from his hands. So I actually had that happen with my wife down in Brazil years ago. We were training in churches, and it was a situation where it was past 10 o'clock and we were in a residential neighborhood, the church was, and so we couldn't be amplified, and we really kind of had to be quiet. And so I was praying for impartation. I was calling people forward, and Carol was backing me up, praying for me. And as she would go to lay hands on my adrenal glands, she literally felt an arcing, and it actually hurt, and I felt it. But we physically saw the arcing. And there were times then when I was calling people toward me that they would get about this far, and sometimes we would see an arc, and I would never touch them, and they would just go down. So we know biblically that there's something there, but I would just encourage you. And same thing, stimulating the adrenal glands helps the body, and in the spirit, it helps the spirit. Okay? Those two things. Okay. I think at the end of this, maybe we'll do some time for question and answer as well. Power of the testimony. This is one of my chief things. I knew it, but I had an aha moment. All right. So I heard Randy Clark. I'd not met him yet. This is 1995. I heard him tell a story about a woman in Tennessee. She had severe Parkinson's. She was 49 years old, looked like she was about 69. She had had Parkinson's for 7 years. It had progressed. It was really bad. They were about to put her into a Parkinson's center, an institution where you pretty much don't come out. She wasn't able to hold her grandchildren because they were afraid she was going to drop them. She had to wear diapers and just the whole situation with Parkinson's. It was really bad. And so Randy prayed for her, and basically the way he prayed for her, because he didn't really know what it was all about, so he had got an explanation, and it's about brain cells, that when you have Parkinson's, you start to lose brain cells. And I don't know what the number is, but we have a lot of them. And let's say it's 800,000. I really don't know what the number is. But he was praying for her. She goes down in the power of the Spirit, and she stops shaking. And so he gets an explanation of Parkinson's and everything, and the husband is telling him exactly what it is. So he said he went into like a word of faith mode. I call those things that are not as though they were. Lord, she needs 500,000. No, that number's not right. 800,000 more brain cells. And as he's praying, she begins shouting, oh, stop, it hurts, it hurts, stop, it hurts. And like he says, they didn't teach him in seminary how to deal with that. So he just prayed, Lord, don't listen to her prayers, listen to mine. More, Lord, more. And she gets totally healed. And so I heard that story. And I was in a conference where they used to, we used to line the people up, kind of like Toronto. And I'm going down the line, and I get to this woman. She's got Parkinson's disease. The conference is going to be like for 4 days, 4 or 5 days. And she said, I'm on 7 medications. I shake all the time. And so I'm praying for her, and I'm thinking, I'm not copying Randy Clark, but if you know, let's don't reinvent the wheel. If God can use him to do this, he can use me. Here again, I was comparing myself. If Randy, you know, prayed for her for 5 minutes, it might take me 20. But I'm, you know, just yeah, we tend to do that, don't we? And so I'm praying, and I'm doing the same thing. I call those things that are not as though they were, because by now she's down on the floor. You know, and I'm praying the kind of same kind of prayers, but I'm praying what the Lord is also what I hear him telling me to pray. And she stopped shaking completely. And the next day she tells me, I'm off of all my medications. And so I watched her for the next 4 days, and she was perfectly fine. So it was the power of the testimony, and I knew that, but I didn't have that aha moment until I started to understand about the power of the testimony. The word remember is found 164 times in the Bible. So to me it sounds like that might be important. Psalm 145 verse 4. One generation shall praise your works to another. Psalm 119, 111. Your testimonies I have taken as an inheritance forever. What is an inheritance? It's something you get for free that you didn't work for. So when my father passed away, I inherited what he had accumulated that I didn't work for. Nehemiah 9:17, however, they refused to obey. They were not mindful of his wonders. Psalm 78:41, they forgot his works. They limited the Holy One. And Lamentations 1:9, she, meaning Israel, didn't consider her destiny, and her collapse was awesome. And it doesn't mean awesome in a good way. When we don't tell the story, we don't remember what God has done, and it diminishes the effectiveness and the ability of God to move. When we don't experience much, we don't expect much. When we don't expect much, we don't experience much, and it becomes a downward spiral. So I know with me, I feel like sometimes I'm 15 minutes away from depression at any moment. Thank you for one person got that. So I work really hard to cultivate an attitude of thankfulness, remembering, looking at the works of God, and trying to focus on the testimonies. When I concentrate on what God has and is doing, I do well. When I concentrate on what he hasn't yet done, I don't do so well. Does that make sense? So day by day, I try to feed my spirit. I have worship music going on in my house. I learned that from Toronto, except when they were doing the meetings, they had worship music going all the time. Well, we came back from Toronto in 96 and started doing that. So there's worship music going on in my house right now, and there's nobody there. Makes me wonder, because the lady I'm getting ready to marry has already started moving some of her stuff into the house. And so she would have walked into the house and hearing this worship music, but then she's kind of used to that. So I just thought of that, just kind of how my brain works sometimes. So when I concentrate on what God hasn't done, it starts to justify unbelief. And it makes me vulnerable to a spirit of offense. In Luke 17, we have the story of John the Baptist being in prison. Now, John the Baptist knew who Jesus was. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He knew who Jesus was, but now he's in prison. And Jesus has said that he's there to set the captives free, and yet John is in prison. And he sends two of his disciples to ask the question, are you the coming one? Should we wait for another? He knows who Jesus is, and yet he's got doubt. He's concentrated on what God hasn't done for him. So thankfulness and remembering produces grace to endure things that I don't understand. I don't always understand, I don't always know, but I know him. And so that's my focus, that my trust is in him. So the works giving praise and anything that God has done displays his character, and becomes a living entity. So Psalm 119:111, your testimonies I have taken as an inheritance forever. You may not have been involved in the story. The stories in the Bible belong to each and every one of us. The stories that we tell, the stories that you've seen, the testimonies that you've seen and heard in this meeting, whether you were involved or not, they belong to all of us because we are the family of God. Okay, so I had some revelation about that. I had one of those aha moments. There has been a lot of teaching. Perhaps this is old hat for you. But Revelation 19:10, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's not just a nice little story when we hear what God has done. It's. Do y'all watch golf? Golf's pretty big over here, isn't it? Then well, I was pretty muted. No, not so big, not so much. It's what? Oh, right. Okay. You're familiar with golf on TV, right? Okay. And the commentator, you know, Tiger Woods is approaching the 18th green. If he sinks this putt, he wins the British Open. Is that, y'all have something. The U.S. Open. He putts. It's heading toward the... It's in. Tiger Woods wins. Yay! Is that... Okay.
Who's your biggest soccer star? You don't know. Who's your biggest soccer star? You don't know.
Who? David Beckham. He plays for the United States, doesn't he? Yeah. No, he is a big star. And yeah. We'll use David Beckham. I want you to imagine the World Cup. David Beckham is dribbling for England. He's approaching. He's moving around. He's dribbling. He shoots. If it goes in, they win the World Cup. It's in. Yay. Is that how that goes? No. I did. You know, they're very passionate about the football down in Brazil, which I go to quite often. I learned how to say the longest word in Portuguese that they have down there. Goal! Can't put anything past you English. If we get excited about somebody pushing a little ball around with their foot and scoring... And we got the same problem. I mean, we call ours football, but we get really excited about that. I mean, when God comes and touches somebody's body or their emotions or their marriage or their finances, shouldn't we be celebrating that? Revelation 19:10, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So here was my revelation. I'm down in Brazil doing a meeting. I've got about 900 people. It's an outdoor meeting. Incredible stuff's happening. You know, it's wonderful. I've got a guy who's translating for me who was associated with Randy Clark's ministry. I was down there on behalf of Randy Clark. And he, as a 17-year-old teenager, he went to bed one night. He didn't speak English in any way. You know, a couple of words, that's it. He didn't know how to speak English. Oh, God, I want to speak English. He woke up the next morning, could speak English fluently, and now was a translator for me, and he's really good. I mean, really good. Okay, when you're being translated in a foreign country like that, it's not just a matter of repeating what I say. They've got to turn everything around, the different verb tense, et cetera, et cetera. And so he's got to be thinking. And then you get somebody from the South, bad enough that from the United States, but then from the South, and my slang, idioms and stuff, some of the stuff that y'all don't understand, or the very word there, y'all probably don't have y'all. Okay, you get what I'm saying. And so he's got to think about how do I structure this so that the Brazilians can understand what I'm saying, and it's a good translation of what this guy is saying. And he stops me, and he says, I have got a migraine. No, he said migraine, or at least that's what I thought, migraine. I've got a migraine headache, And it's so bad, I can't see the words on the page. I can't think of the words. I can't think of how to do the structure of the sentence and everything. Do you have a story about migraines being healed? Well, you probably can tell already. I got a lot of stories. I am a storyteller. I don't preach from the Bible line upon line. I tell the story, and the point is in the story. So I said, yeah, I got stories about that. So I tell a story. And apparently, whatever compassion that I may have had went out the window, because after I tell the story, I start speaking again. He's just told me. He can't see the words on the page, can't think of what he's trying to do. I tell a simple story, and then I keep on going. So I've had to repent about that one. And so I'm like another 10, 15 minutes into the message, and he stops me. And he starts speaking to them in Portuguese. So I have no idea what he's saying. I liken it to this. It's kind of like, you know, speaking to your dog. What your dog hears is blah, 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 fluffy. Blah, 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 fluffy. Blah, 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 fluffy. Well, you know. And so he's speaking. I have no idea what he's saying. And then he stops and he turns to me and he says, would you like to know what I told them? Well, yes, I would, since you just hijacked my meeting. He said, I told them that I had this headache and I asked you to tell a story so that I could grab a hold of the testimony and bring it into me. If God can do it for someone that you tell a story about, he can do it for me. He's no respecter of persons. And he said, as soon as I did that, I was healed. That to me was an aha moment. And so I started being a lot more purposeful on the picture. So I have folders in my camera, on my iPad, etc., for ears that I've seen healed, or, you know, hearing loss, and eyes and skeletal and impartation, so that I can remind myself. A lot of times what I'll do is I'll tell stories. I'll meet somebody and say, you know, I've got a problem in my hip, and this is what's going on, etc. Well, you know, I prayed for somebody. Let's see, that was 3 years ago. Here, look at this picture right here. I really, it helps me to remember. Some of you who I've prayed for just in the last day or two, you know that I've got pictures in my iPad and my phone and things like that. I rely on that. It helps me to build my faith, and hopefully it helps you to build faith. If God can do it for them, he can do it for me. And so that was my aha moment. So then I started, there was so much teaching about this, and I started looking at it myself. So in Mark chapter 3, because we want to tie it to the Bible, we want to make sure that we're biblically correct, etc. In Mark chapter 3, verse 10, it says, for he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about to touch him. I originally thought, I looked at Mark chapter 5, the woman with the issue of blood. We all know that story, that she reached in to touch the hem of his garment. That's the first time you see that. That's not. Obviously, right here, in Mark chapter 3, while Jesus is in the same general area, this is what happened, that many pressed into him who had afflictions to touch him. Now, here's my premise with the woman with the issue of blood. We all know, you've probably been taught this before, that she is unclean. In their culture, if she is out in public and doesn't get healed, she can be stoned. So she's in trouble. She's got to make sure it counts. I mean, this one's got to count. Now, you could say she possibly was out of the house and saw this happening back in Mark chapter 3. I think the likelihood of that is not great, because once again, she's risking. She's out in public. And in this case, if she was, she didn't get healed, because it was in Mark chapter 5 that she got healed. I believe more realistically, somebody had to have come to her house or let her know some way. And we do know that it wasn't by cell phone. She had to find out some way. Somebody had to tell her, you know, I saw this thing happen and I heard about these people getting healed. They just were there. They were reaching out. They were touching. They were letting him pass by. And so I believe that that's how she knew about it. And she stepped out in boldness. And I don't think, as we know the story, Jesus was now going to go with Jairus to go pray for the little girl who was dying and then told that she had passed away. And it says that he is thronged. I sometimes actually do a dramatization of this where I bring someone up to represent Jesus, like the pastor here. And then I have a bunch of people get all around him. And I have somebody playing the part of the woman with the issue of blood. And my point is, I don't think she just went strolling up. Oh, excuse me, get out of the way, please. I need to touch him, please. I don't think that's how it had to happen. I think it was a violent act because she's desperate. She only has one shot. And if she doesn't get healed, she's in trouble. I think she pushed people away. I think, this is solely my information, my beliefs, I think it was such a violent act that we would have called it rude. And sometimes what we would call rude, God calls spiritual hunger. She reached in and touched the hem of his garment. And then, in Mark chapter, by the end of Mark chapter 6, everyone wanted to touch him, and they were getting healed. They laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. It's the power of the testimony. I think there were people saying, there was a woman, she'd been bleeding for 12 years, and she just broke through this crowd and touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. You know, I know that Jesus is going to be coming by this certain way in a couple of days. Maybe, you know, you've got a problem. Maybe if we put you there and you reach out, maybe you'll get healed. I think that story went all around. People were hearing about it. And to further kind of give credence to what I'm thinking about, in Mark chapter 10, we have the story about blind Bartimaeus. He didn't see Jesus coming down the road. He had not seen what Jesus had done. Somebody had to have told him. Because as he hears that Jesus is coming, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. What he's really saying is, Jesus, I've heard about you. Don't pass me by. And he, again, reaches out. It's uncomfortable. It's inconvenient. It says he took off his cloak, which actually indicated that he was a legitimate beggar recognized by the officials. He takes off his cloak. I don't really know why, but he takes off his cloak and he comes to Jesus. If he doesn't get healed, he's got a problem because they're going to go on and he's got to find his way back to his cloak, the only thing he really has, and what legitimizes him as a beggar. I think somebody had to have told him the story that, hey, you know, this woman with the issue of blood and the people were being laid out, you might want to try that. It's the power of the testimony that gives us the ability to step into a miracle. The word in the Old Testament means to do again. The power of the testimony. The testimony of Jesus, spirit of prophecy. It prophesies what can happen again. It prophesies into a miracle. So, we started finding that as we told the story, when either in prayer or in meetings like this, we started seeing things happen. It raised faith. We talk about telling the story all the time. And so here's kind of where I've come to. I believe the testimony. I believe when something happens to you, no matter how big or little, it's important to share that testimony because I've seen it happen. I was in a meeting and this big guy stands up as I'm doing healing and stuff like this, and he starts running around the church. And he runs around the church twice, and that's about enough for me. Stop. What are you doing? I'm sure I was really nice. What are you doing? But it was kind of like, what are you doing? Because in our stream, we don't run. We shake and fall and flip and flop and laugh and cry. But another stream runs when they get touched by the Spirit. So it's different. It's unusual. I mean, I thought it was God, but it's not what we normally do. And he said, I've got, and this is going to help somebody, but I think it might even be you. He said, I've got plantar fasciitis. Now, I'd never heard of that. It's ligament damage at the bottom of your feet, and it's incredibly painful. Somebody's shaking their head like maybe they know about it. And the doctors, there's really nothing you can do about it. The doctors say, just stay off your feet. Well, who can do that? And then he said, I have stenosis of the spine, which is a narrowing of the spinal column area. It's incredibly painful and really causes problems. And he said, I can't run. I can barely walk. And it's really affecting my work and everything. But I just felt this power come on me. And I started running, and I have no pain whatsoever. As he says that, a woman over there stands up and says, well, if God can heal him, he can heal me. And she starts running. That meeting, we had 7 people with plantar fasciitis get healed, and Carol and I had never heard of it. And actually, we've seen quite a bit of healing of that. I had another meeting where, kind of like right here, I don't even remember what it was, but the mother had been praying for the daughter. The daughter had something, and it might have been plantar fasciitis, and was not getting healed whatsoever. And the mother said, I claim that testimony for her. And literally, the power of God hit her, and she was healed. The daughter was healed. There's power in the testimony if we will hang on to it. It's for each and every one of us. As we tell those stories, they can be used for us. Now, what happens when you don't tell the testimony? I've now joined Randy in being that's my pet peeve. Some people will say, I don't want to call attention to myself. Well, that's good. You're not supposed to be calling attention to yourself. You're supposed to be calling attention to him. He's the one who healed you. But when you tell that testimony, you literally put into the atmosphere that which can be done again, where somebody can grab a hold of that and say, that's for me. I can do that. The other one is the Bible says that we are not to touch his glory. Is that real? Is that right? Okay. When there's healing, that's the glory of the Lord. So when we're afraid to give our testimony, you're really touching the glory. I think it's really important. And it's really nice when you give your testimony like the next day or on that moment, because we really like it encourages us. I mean, as somebody who leads meetings like this, there's times when I walk away a little discouraged. I didn't see what I wanted to see. And then it all happens like the next day, or the person got healed but didn't give their testimony. It's the same thing quite often giving words of knowledge. You give a word of knowledge that you think is from God, and nobody stands up. Nobody says, yeah, that's me, until the end of the meeting when everybody's gone. And then they come up and say, yeah, that word was for me, but I was afraid to raise my hand. And then you get to practice forgiveness because they made you look bad. So I really believe in the power of telling your testimony. It's important. And it starts to spread the word, too, that this is a healing center. At lunchtime, we discovered that I say the words that sounds like I'm saying sinner. This is a center. I don't pronounce my T's. Okay. So let me show you how this works, and I'm hoping that our thing is going to work. Can you put that first picture up? And let's see if this is going to work okay. Any minute, it's just going to pop right up there. There it is. Okay. What you can see is a woman with a blue sling that where her arm is now no longer in. So I'm in a meeting down in Medellin, Colombia. And 1,100 people or so are in the meeting, and it's just glorious. But in the middle of my message, I'm seeing this gal's like right in the middle, and I'm on a platform, and she's about 6 or 7 rows back, and she's got her arm in this sling. And all of a sudden, she starts going like this. And I'm thinking, if she gets healed, this place is going to go crazy. If she pulls her arm out, and that's exactly what she did, pulled her arm out, and the place went ballistic. Kind of like you just did. Okay, show the next picture if you would. So next week, I go to a church in Davenport, Iowa. I walk into the church. Now, we've met the pastor, the woman pastor, but we've never been to the church. We don't know anybody in the church. We've never been there. We don't know what they do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the woman pastor had been in a meeting with us, liked us, and said, and apparently we didn't have anything to do that Sunday morning, which is a little unusual. So we went to this church. And when I walked in, I see the woman in the blue sweater with her arm up, except her arm was in a blue sling. I see her standing at the back of the church. She's got some sort of a badge on, like something of, you know, being official and everything. So we do the meeting, and these two young ladies with their backs to you got powerfully touched by God. And so I thought there was an impartation there. And we had a lot of healing. It was incredible. So at the end of the meeting, I said, you know, I don't want to embarrass you or anything, but I see your arm's in a blue sling. I just saw that healed. I'm thinking, God, this is a setup. I just saw that get healed. Are you doing it again? Well, yes, he was. She had had she had rotator cuff problems, tried to delay it as long, didn't want surgery. Finally, she had, you know, hey, I got to have surgery. So she had had surgery just like a week before. And so she said, yes, you can pray for me as long as you don't touch me. I can't even touch me. So we said, sure, we can just kind of pray around you. So we start praying for her, and her arm comes out of the, that's the right arm. Her arm comes out of the sling, and she gets totally healed. I've seen her several times since. She never had a problem with that again. So then, thank you. Yeah. So then I go to Brazil a couple of years ago, and there's a guy, and he has already taken the sling off. What he's showing is that he can hold things that he couldn't hold before. He's come to this meeting driving an hour each time, four times a day. The meetings are going to be 6 days and nights, so he is fully committed. We're in one church. And he said, I didn't come for healing. I came for a healing anointing. But he's got a problem with his shoulder, and the doctors have said, do not move, do not take your arm out, special precautions when you sleep. He was in day 25 of 45 days saying, you know, don't do anything with your arm. And then come back, we're going to have to do surgery. And the power of God hit him. I looked at him and I said, you know, this is a setup. Every time I see a blue sling, God shows up big time. He's going to show up with you. I mean, I declared the word over him, and he stood up and just raised his arm. And so he's showing that he now can lift things that he couldn't lift before. Well, as I've said before, many times when there's a dramatic healing, there's an anointing for healing. So I put him on the prayer team. I only had three of us Americans that went with me on that trip. And the church was 1,000 people. And so I said, join us. You're on a prayer team. Every single person he prayed for, having never prayed for anyone, every single person he prayed for got healed. Yeah, like amazing. Okay, so we've just seen the power of the testimony. You've visually seen pictures. We know we've seen healing. I can't remember who all has been healed of shoulders, but we've already seen some healing, right? I don't remember who, but somebody, raise your hand if you've got healed of... Yeah, there was some major improvement with you. There's somebody else. Now, some people have left and they're not here anymore. But there's still more healing to be done. I'm willing to believe that, unfortunately. So... if you have anything wrong with your shoulder, your elbow, your wrist, I know we've prayed for this before, but as we've said, many times healing is progressive. So what have you got to lose? So if that's you, just stand up. If you've got any kind of a problem with the upper part of the shoulder, the rotator cuff area, muscles, ligaments, tendons, your elbow, your wrist, your fingers, anything having to do, right or left, go ahead and stand up. Okay, if you're in the middle of the row, step out. Yeah, if you're in the middle of the row, just step out. Yeah, step out there. Yeah, just so we can get to you. And, okay. Here's what I want to do. I feel like we're going to do this one differently. I'd like three or four people. If you've never done this before, because I'm going to put you in a group of about three, why not? Why not try it? First of all, you won't know who it is that that brought down the healing, if you will. It's going to be a group effort. And don't you want to be a part of this? I mean, yeah, you're here for healing, but aren't you here to grab hold of this? So I'd like three or four people to gather around every person who is standing now. And nobody prays yet. I just want you to get around them. And if you've never done this before, this is a great chance to do it. And by the way, I am going to go into other areas of healing. We're going to do that. Okay, I don't want anybody saying anything yet. I don't want anybody praying. Okay, shh, shh, shh. Okay. So the person being prayed for, put your hand where you need the healing. The person being prayed for, put your hand where you need healing. Just like this gentleman back here did. Yeah. And this gentleman right here, so it's the left arm. Yeah. And it's your wrist or elbow. Elbow and arm to straighten. Okay. So I put three or four people around you because I want those people to soak you. You're carrying the presence of God. You're filled with the Spirit. Is this correct? Am I biblically correct in reading what you're doing? And it says, the very same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside of you. So let the Spirit out. He's been bored too long. He's waiting to get out. And your angels are ready to get out. Okay. I just want you to create an atmosphere of the presence of God. And maybe one person at a time, speak over that person, speak to the condition. So in this case, it might be fingers, all the pain go, straighten, begin to work. I think it was you who had the fingers thing. So this is good that you're praying in here because you've been healed of that. So in other words, you're speaking to the condition, one of you at a time. And in the meantime, you're laying hands on them gently and you're releasing the power and the presence of God and you're soaking them in the presence of God. So just, people are being prayed for. Close your eyes. Just relax. Those who are praying, keep your eyes open. Pray one at a time, loud enough so the person hears you, but not so loud that you cause disturbance around you. Go. Now, Holy Spirit, I just ask that you release your power in these little groups, that there would be such power of God that fingers are healed. We stand on the power of the testimony of this pastor who got healed earlier this morning with a problem with his fingers that wouldn't straighten back up. We speak to the rotator cuff, to the muscles, ligaments, and tendons. We speak to the elbows. Let the fire and passion of God come into the meeting. Those of you who are still seated, just be interceding for these. That we would see the glory of the Lord come in this room. More, Lord. Elbows, be made straight. Be made whole. The wrists, come into order. Where there's been problems with the wrist and the function of the wrist, I command that power, that presence to go. I command any afflicting spirit to be broken and every assignment of the enemy canceled in the name of Jesus. Now come, Holy Spirit, all over this room. Let the fire of God be released. Lord, if there be any effect of trauma, we break its power now. More, Lord. You said we could ask for more. More. Okay, you just have another couple of minutes. Well, actually, you don't even have a couple of minutes. You have a couple of minutes. Ten more seconds. Bless them. Bless them. Ten more seconds. Bless them. Okay. Shh. Stop praying. Stop praying. Okay, those of you who've just got prayed for, check your body. Do whatever you need to do to see if there's been any improvement. So that, move your shoulders, move your hands, your fingers, your elbow, whatever. And if you can say that during that prayer, there was some improvement. I don't care if it's 1% to 100. If there was improvement, wave at me and don't stop waving. Keep waving, waving real high so we can see you. Like you really are celebrating. Yeah. So I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 4. Anybody over here? Anybody? 5. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. First of all, before I go too far, what happened to you? Because you were praying, right? And then you're on the floor. So what happened to you? Because it was when I broke trauma?
Yeah, I felt some trauma breaking into my life.
Yeah, okay. And our... Yeah, so something's being dealt with. Okay, that was interesting. And the gentleman back here, in the rear here, can you tell me what was going on?
The Holy Spirit just went pop.
Yep. And were they praying for your shoulders? And did anything happen? Are you better?
I'm still under shock from what the Holy Spirit.
Do you feel like there's more movement or what? Anything?
I just feel energized inside.
Yeah, I'd say that. Okay, once again, you continue to get some healing. That's good.
Yeah, my wrist.
Your wrist. And this gentleman, you raised your hand. The fingers are getting a little bit better. Now, see how it's progressive. So what if we only prayed once today and said, well, you know, we didn't see the improvement that we really wanted and everything. No, you keep praying. You keep blessing. You keep pouring in. I think it was you. Okay, what happened? Tell me real loud.
Well, now I just feel less pain in wrist.
Less pain. Okay. We call that progressive healing. That's good. Okay, now somebody's been shy. Okay, is anything going on with you? Because they prayed for your fingers.
Yeah, they did. No, it's still going quite straight.
Right. Yeah. But that's what they were praying for. Okay. And you're raising your hand, yes?
My elbow is free now.
Your elbow is free.
And I
Did the eyesight improve during that prayer?
From this morning and then more.
Oh, okay. Collateral blessing. So when you say that your elbow is free, what does that mean? Anybody else? See, you can grab a hold of that. What happened to her can happen to you. What happened to her can happen to you. What happened to him can happen to you. What happened earlier to the big tall guy with the good-looking hairstyle can happen to you. Anybody else? Okay. Okay. Good. All right. Progressive. All right. You may be seated. All right. So be ready for my video, my pictures. Okay. So here's the deal. What I'm really trying to show you is how the power of the testimony affects me. It helps me to remember. It helps me to press in. God, I've seen this before. I rarely see things I've never seen because I've been doing this so long. But it helps me to, when I see something that I've seen before, oh yeah, I've seen that before. God, do it again. Okay. So go to the next slide, picture. All right. This is Fernando. We were brought down to a place called Manizales, Colombia, in 06. The 23 churches of the city were totally unified. They wanted to know more about moral purity, how to handle money, how to marriage, etc. My friend Gary Oates had been in there. He was going to come over from Brazil, where he had doing a couple of meetings. And then my wife and I were going to go down like 4 days early and do some teaching, and then we were going to be joined together. So we're down early. We do a healing thing in a major church there on the first night. And then the second night, we're back again. We're going to teach on marriage because our marriage had gotten healed. And as I'm preparing, you know, to get my wife, because she was going to give the message that night, as I'm preparing everything, I watched this guy walk in the church. And he walks in like this. Every step, pain, and slow, laborious. He's on that cane. What I found out later was he had been run over by a truck 6 years before. So he's in a wheelchair for 2 years. Then he was out. He's on that cane. His life is destroyed. He's just in pain. He can't work. He can't do anything. Well, I watched him walk into the church. I don't know anything about him. But then I have to get ready and get my wife ready, etc. So I lose track of this. So the story that I'm going to tell you happened on Sunday night. I didn't find out everything that happened until Thursday. So when he walked into the church like that, and the church was unusual in that it's in the middle of the block. It's an overhead door. It doesn't look like a church at all. And when he was walking by, he said it felt like something grabbed hold of him and pulled him in. Yeah. I'll let you figure that out. And an elder or somebody official sees him, talks to him, finds out he's not saved, leads him to the Lord. Okay, so when Carol finishes the message, we're about to pray, and the pastor comes up and says, "Oh, that's perfect. That's exactly what we needed, teaching on marriage, blah, blah, blah." However, because there was so much healing last night, we've had people come specifically for healing. So I said, "Okay, Carol, you go over there, take all the married couples who want to go over, you pray over them. I'll take everybody who needs healing over here." So I announced that. 35 people go over to this side of the room. Now, we've got a coordinator in Colombia. He's a real character, interesting guy. He was a drug dealer, got caught in the United States. They didn't really want him. They wanted him to snitch on his higher up, and he wouldn't do it. So he went to prison. Jesus appeared to him three times, said, "You will translate for me." He was not a Christian, obviously got born again in prison, and got deported back to Colombia. And literally, that's what he does. He translates. He's translated for Benny Hinn and people like that. So he's really an interesting character. And character only barely describes this guy. So when he's dealing with us and teams, he takes care of us. He looks out for us. And so when he says it's time to go, it's time to go. And so even though it's just me and Carol, I know in 10 minutes I'm going to hear, Bill and Carol, we got to go right now. You do not have time to fall in love with anybody. We got to go back to the hotel right now." So I've got 10 minutes. I don't have time to lay hands on all 35. So here again, it's not rocket science. I tell them, put your hand where it hurts. Put the hand on the head. They might have a headache. Put the hand on the neck. Maybe it's neck pain. Shoulder pain. Stomach pain. Hip pain. And it's not rocket science. It's not complicated. We make it complicated. So, and I've got my eyes open so I can see what God is doing. So I'm praying over these people. And I come to like, you know, I just praying in general. Lord, I command that pain in the head to go, that headache to go, pain in the neck, go. I speak blessing over the chest and the shoulders, etc. I speak to that hip, and I see him take that cane and throw it down on the marble floor. It makes a sound, as you might imagine. Everybody's looking, and he starts walking. And as he walks, it's like God begins to oil the joints, and he begins walking and jumping and leaping and praising. Yeah, that's good. Because that's what they did, only a little more expressive, but it, because it was happening right there. So you did really good. So many times when there's a dramatic healing, as I've said, there's an anointing for healing. So I lay hands on him. I don't know his story. I lay hands on him and pray for anointing. So the elder who led him to the Lord, they do things different down there. You can't just go back out there now. You need to be fellowship. You need to be discipled. So I have a meeting on Tuesday night. You be there. So he comes to the meeting on Tuesday night. Now, I don't know any of this story until Thursday. He comes to the fellowship on Tuesday night. And the guy says, you know, the little bald-headed guy prayed for your healing. You got healed. He prayed for you to be anointed to heal. Let's see if it works. See that woman over there? She's wearing glasses. Go pray for her. He's only been saved 2 days. And he hasn't been through the Bill Dew School of Healing and Anointing. Who knows what he said? But you see, he hasn't been religiousized. He's not been told that healing is not for today. He thinks it is because he's gotten healed. So he goes and prays. She takes off her glasses. He prays. She puts on her glasses. She can't see. Takes off her glasses. And so he comes back on Thursday morning and he tells me that story. And we walk 10 blocks back to the hotel. No pain, no cane. Perfectly normal like anybody else. His life is totally restored. Okay, so fast forward a little bit. If you would show the next picture. Okay. I went into a church 2 years ago. Down in Brazil, and I meet this woman, and she had a hip problem, and I can't remember exactly what all they called it, rheumatoid arthritis in her hip. And so she has to walk with that cane, and it was close enough for me. I thought, well, okay, you know, I'm going to take a picture of you. And I told her the story. I'm literally telling her the story. If God can do that for Fernando, he can do that for you. It's not like he loves Colombians more than Brazilians, right? So I said, I want to take a picture and I'm going to put the two together because I'm going to tell the world about what happened when you get totally healed. Because I prayed for her. She didn't go to that church, but she came on Friday night. And I said, if you will come Saturday and Sunday as well, I'll pray for you. Because after I prayed for her, she rested in the spirit, but she was not totally healed. She was better, but she wasn't totally healed. I said, if you'll come back, I'll pray for you the next two nights. So I prayed for her. Go ahead and show the next picture. Okay. The last night, Sunday night, I've prayed for her, and she's better. She's not limping as much, but it's not completely healed. And I was about to move on and pray for somebody else, and I felt like the Lord said, no, you're not through. Have her walk across the stage. And I have a video, but we just didn't know if it was really going to play here. As she starts out, she's walking without that cane. And as she walks, it's like, once again, like being oiled. And as she turns back this way, the tears start flowing as she realizes she's walking normally. What I didn't know was that she was pregnant. And I think later, okay, how do you do that with, you know, the crutch and try to deal with a baby? I mean, come on. So she gets totally healed. It was the power of the testimony. I'm showing her the picture of Fernando. I'm telling her the story, and I'm praying it. And I'm thinking, I saw Fernando. I've seen a lot of this kind of stuff be healed. Okay, if you would show the next picture. This is how this is progressive, the power of the testimony, how it can help you. Okay, so we go to Bogota, Colombia, and we're in this really nice, influential-type church, and they have a radio station that they broadcast from the church. So the woman with the blonde hair with the red, she's the pastora. The woman with her back to you, And my translator is the guy on the right-hand side. And, of course, you can see me. The woman with her back to you, when I saw her, she's on a crutch, just like that pink crutch. But she's limping more. And I find out her story. She had a blood clot that went to her brain. She's completely paralyzed on one side. And she's in excruciating pain. But she's serving the best order. So what I'm doing is I'm telling her, after we finish the interview, I will pray for you. And I'm showing her a picture of the woman that I've just shown you. If God can do it for her, He can do it for you. The power of the testimony. I'm building my faith, and I'm building her faith. And so, as we finish the interview, I get her up and I pray for her. And as I'm praying for her, one of my team members, this is one of the joys of going on a trip like this. One of my team members told me later, he said, I hate to even admit this, but I'm praying, oh God, don't let her be disappointed when she doesn't get healed. And don't let Bill get disappointed when she doesn't get healed. She falls under the power of the Spirit. She gets up. Show the next picture. And literally jumps and runs all over the church and then throws her crutch away. Totally healed. And the prayer member, he came to me afterwards. He confessed that. And he said, I realized then how little my faith is. What we found out was he had been on a mission trip before and nothing had happened because he wasn't baptized in the Spirit. Now, God can use you when you're not baptized in the Spirit, but it helps to be filled with the Spirit. So we got him filled, and after that point, every single person he prayed for got healed. Do I have a picture after this? Yeah, so this is what I did. I made a composite just to kind of show that. Yeah, you can take that off the screen, I think. I'll stop there. The power of the testimony, it helps you to focus. That's why I keep categories of the things that I've seen. And see, you can do the same thing, whether you're on the prayer ministry team or not. What if you started documenting every person you pray for out there, every person at work, every person that you play with, you interact with? You'll be amazed at what God would do for you. Okay, so here's what I want to do now. Because what I just looked at was stuff from the hips down. If you can, and you've got a problem from the waist down, hips, pelvis, legs, knees, ankles, toes, arch, whatever, would you just stand up and let me see what I'm dealing with? Okay. If you just got healed in that last prayer, would you come up here real quickly? Some level of healing. Yeah. And if you got healed earlier, like the gentleman right here, come. Okay, stand right there, face there. You come right over here and face here. Right there, stop. Face right there. Okay, big guy, come on. Y'all, spread out a little bit. It's this way. There you go. Okay, who else got healed? Come on, there were a bunch of people. I don't care what the level is. I want you, come on. Yeah, right here. Anybody else? You got healed earlier. Come on, yeah, come on over here. Over here. All right. You got healed yesterday. Something happened to you. You got healed. Don't be shy. Come on. Yeah. Come on. You. Come on. Okay. Let me have you right here. Right here. Face that way. You're good right here. You're good right there. You're good right here. Okay. All right. And leave. Yeah. Come on this way, you two. Finish the thing. Leave an aisle right here. Okay? All right. Here's what we're going to do. We now have a tunnel. It's not a prophecy tunnel. It is a blessing tunnel. It is a healing tunnel. What we're going to do is ask you, those of you who are standing, and particularly if you can, and if you can't, we'll come to you. We'll get some of the people to come to you. I want you to come from this side and come around here and walk through the tunnel. Okay? Just hold your hands out so that we will be able to touch you. We're going to touch you. But obviously it's from the hips down. So we're praying hips, pelvis, knees. You may not know everything that you're praying for, but you're praying for anything from the waist down. And you guys are just going to touch them and pray. It's not a prophecy tunnel. You're not stopping along the way. You're letting them go ahead and walk on through. Are you part of my tunnel? Okay, because I need you over here maybe. Okay, you're the end guy, and then they're going to kind of go like this. And if we can, there you go. Thank you. Okay. So, I want those of you who are seated to stretch your hands toward these. And if there's anybody who's dealing with that issue from the hips down and you can't come through this tunnel, let us know and I will send some people to you. Okay? You're pointing, but I don't know where you're pointing. Oh, this lady right here. All right. Let me have a couple of people to go to this lady right here. Just volunteer yourself. Go to this lady right here. Yeah, Pastor, and anybody else. Yeah, y'all surround her and just pray for her. Okay, you're going to walk through, and you're going to keep on walking. Okay, you're not stopping. You guys understand what you're doing? You're just releasing the power of God, and let's begin praying. Holy Spirit, come as they walk through the tunnel. Let there be such a release of the power that hips come into order, legs, knees, ankles. Yeah, just touch them. Just hold your hands out. Hold your hands out so they can touch you. Hold your hands out. Yeah, and if let me have a couple of men who are not praying, and just in case somebody can't get through the tunnel, let me have a couple of workers come help me. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, just in case. Holy Spirit, come. The fire of God fall in this tunnel. And the presence of the Lord fall on this lady being prayed for back here in the corner. Holy Spirit, come. We bless the hips, the legs, the pelvis. Everything come into order in the name of Jesus. Just be ready in case. Holy Spirit, come. Once you finish through the tunnel, you can go ahead and sit down. Go back to your chair and you can sit down. Lord, we bless what you are doing throughout this room. We want to see your glory come in the name of Jesus. That the name of Jesus receives honor and glory. Yeah, that is the prayer. More, more, Lord. More of your presence. More of your healing. Lord, we bless what you're doing. You will notice that we're doing different ways of praying almost with everything we're doing. Lord, release your power through this man with the canes. Let him literally grasp hold of the fact that there were people on canes who got healed. Let him relive the power and the presence of God even as he saw that he would emerge from this prayer tunnel feeling a surge of energy, strength in the legs, the ankles, the knees. Lord, we bless what you are doing throughout this room. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Holy Spirit, come and release the fire of God. Fresh knees. Lord, we come in faith for this woman being prayed for back here. I sense that there's a need for hips and knees. And so, Lord, in faith, not seeing, not feeling, we ask that literally the angels of God would go into the storehouses of heaven and get new knees. I'll explain that one later. More, Lord, we bless what you are doing in this room. Let your power flow through this prayer team in the name of Jesus, that the name of Jesus receives honor and glory. More, Lord, more. Keep going, keep going. Holy Spirit, come. Where are you going? Stand in the anointing. This is what I needed you for. This is what I needed you for. She's down. Woman down. Yeah. Okay. You can take care of your wife here. I don't know how you're going to do it.
She's got a broken leg.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Be a little detour around her. So prayer team, let these people come on. Let these people come on. Yeah. Show up. One more. Get her, God. Get her. Last one. Get her, God. Get her. Get her. Get her. Get her. You're gonna take five more steps and clear her, and the power of God is going to hit you. You're going to take five more steps, and the power of God, bam, right there. Yeah. Okay, y'all may go sit down. Thank you. Okay. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. All right, you may go sit down. Thank you. My prayer team over here on this precious lady, you may stop because I want to check in. All right, y'all can sit down. Everybody can sit down. She's already laying down. She's all right. She's good. Okay, just be careful of her. Don't step on her. Okay, if you just went through, if you just went through the tunnel, would you stand up? All right, once again, test your body. See how you're doing. There's no other way to know, particularly if you didn't feel anything. But as you walk through, how many of you would say, something happened. Something changed. I feel better, whatever. The hand went up immediately. This hand went up. This hand went up. This hand back here. This hand right here. It's amazing, and you're feeling much better. It's amazing how it's like progressive hands going up. Like, I don't know if I'm... I don't want to be the first. So you were, bless you. May you have a double... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was loaded. Okay. Somebody else. We'll come back to her. Somebody else. And I don't remember now who all raised their hands. Don't be shy. You said something happened. Tell me.
Yeah, I had to keep at least endometitis, and the pain's completely gone. It's been going on for about a year.
About a year. Wow. Okay, I saw other hands. Don't be shy. Yes, ma'am.
I was approached last night. I fell on my knees. And I left last night and sat in my car and cried because I was in so much pain. I didn't think I'd be able to make it today. Well, I was not to pray for me so I could drive home to Lewis. And we went to bed. I prayed. I took some medication to try and help the pain. And she said, I'm not going back unless you do something. And I got up this morning and I didn't ask my body how it felt. I just came, and people come through the door and said, how's your knees? And I was honest with what happened to me and how distraught it was. And they prayed, and through the day, I've had like heat pains on my knees. And when I went through the fire tunnel, I thought, what? From my knees down to my toes, it's like I've got warm boots on.
Who else? Because I did see some more hands. Yes. That through the tunnel, that's when that happened? Well, now, wait a minute. That's illegal. We weren't praying for that. Because he's a loving God. He's a loving Father. And it's collateral blessing. Yeah. If we can have collateral damage, we can have collateral blessing. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's a big deal. Okay, who else? Because I know there was some more. Yes, tell me.
Thigh when I came, and it's all gone. It's gone.
Anybody else want to give a testimony? Yes, ma'am. Everybody can sit down. What was going on with you?
Our son fell off his skateboard a week ago and badly broke his left ankle and his leg. And his ankle needed to be realigned. So 2 days ago, he had an operation. He's in Hong Kong and he's been there for a week. And he's still in hospital. And so we're in contact with him. But apparently you spoke in Mandarin just as I was coming through. He's in Hong Kong,
he
speaks Mandarin, fluent Mandarin. And, yeah.
Okay, do you speak Mandarin?
No.
No.
A bit of Cantonese.
Cantonese, right. Mandarin is more on the mainland, and Hong Kong is Cantonese?
Yeah. He speaks Mandarin.
Okay, so... For those of you who want to know, a couple of you I've talked about, talked to. I had a Korean-American woman in 1997 who was associated with Cheon's Church in Pasadena. She and her interns prayed over me, and I thought I was getting Korean. But as it has and it wasn't, but it's progressed. So that now there's been several, I mean, actually multiple times when I've done that, and Chinese people will come from across the room and say, "How did you know? How did you know to speak?" I don't. I don't know what I'm saying. I know what's happening. It's a breaking of in the spirit, I know it's a breaking. But they're telling me it's an ancient dialect. We don't speak that anymore, but it is Mandarin. And they recognize a few words. Just one of those mysteries of God, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, that was pretty cool. Now, Have you noticed that we really haven't much done anything the same way, and we've done a number of ways of healing. The 10-second, you know, everybody gets to just rotate and go like crazy. I've had people come on teams with me, and particularly a pastor or two, and they say, you know, I'm used to praying for somebody for 15 minutes, but I'm obedient. I'm you know, I'm under your authority in this case on the team, and you told us, you know, 10 seconds, so I did it. And it bothered me like crazy because that's not my style, but I kept seeing people get healed. So they're coming around to the fact that maybe I don't need to pray such long prayers. That we carried the power in the presence of God, so we let it out. We've obviously laid hands on, kind of one-on-one. We've done group prayer. We did a tunnel kind of thing. I mean, there's just all kinds of ways. And what I'm trying to show you more than anything is that God wants to use each and every one of us to affect our community, that you do carry the power in the presence of God. And it's a matter of stepping out. And yeah, I know, like I've said, bears repeating for anybody particularly who wasn't here. Too often there is that fear. What if I pray and nothing happens? Well, nothing is already happening. So what have you got to lose? I mean, why not? Yeah. Okay. We actually finished early, and I don't know if there's anything more, except maybe your questions would stir something and I'd talk about a little bit more. But if you want to, because we're doing a workshop, this is a little different than, you know, a meeting like we would do. So if you have a question and you want to ask, they're just burning and everything. Oh, you didn't get to give your testimony, did you? Tell me and then ask the question. Tell me what happened to you. Okay, if you would, ask your question.
Well, this is a bit different because I was here last night, and what I got prayed for was that I suspected I had a heart attack about 3 weeks ago when I got this back. And yesterday, the doctors had given the results of the test and said, look, you've got to get back. You've got to be seen. And I got prayed with, but this is what I'm thinking might be helpful because I believe anybody in here and have this progress. Last night I was prayed for. I felt a comfort go down. I always have a sort of background pain for these periods. They prayed for my chest, and I felt a comfort go through it. That's the only way I can describe it. But I also felt, I didn't tell you guys, Ian, and I felt something move, and I thought, I hadn't thought this was a spirit, but it did start to move. Well, this morning I didn't know if I'd be coming today, and sure enough, the enemy got in there, and a letter came through from my doctor saying, we've got to see you. I thought, no, I'm not having it. The Lord's healing this. That letter shouldn't even have come. It was spoken to me. So I thought, the enemy's trying to do this. So I thought I'd come here and just let it continue. But I have to say, it probably is a spirit involved. So if you wanted to mentor anybody through getting rid of the spirit, I'm perfectly willing to be praying.
Yeah, I am. I was planning on praying for you right now. So that really wasn't much of a question, but that's okay. Why don't you come stand right there? Yeah, thank you, sir. Okay. I want you to relax. I've cut a big, strong guy behind you. Just in case. Yeah. Put your hand where? Yeah, right there. Right there. Yeah. What I really wanted to start with, just close your eyes and relax. Stretch your hands toward her. Because you've said it's back pain right back there. Mm. Is that about right kind of where I've got my hand?
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. Yeah. So we come in the authority in the name of Jesus.
It's hurting more. You're getting it.
Okay, yeah. We break the power of any afflicting spirit. We command that off of her right now. We break every assignment of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, we command all pain to go, that spirit to be broken right now, to leave right now, 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 now. The power of God flowing through her right now. Command it to go. Okay, report to me. How's it doing?
Yeah, something's happening.
Something's happening.
The
good?
Heat.
Okay. Now, I don't feel any of that. I don't feel heat. I don't feel anything happening. It's not about me. Right? Okay, more, Lord. More. More.
It's funny.
Better?
I feel a whole thickening all around my waist from around where the, you know, back. Well, it doesn't hurt now.
Doesn't hurt now.
It doesn't hurt.
Okay. It doesn't hurt.
No.
Don't. No. It doesn't hurt. There's no now. It doesn't hurt.
Yes, it doesn't hurt.
When they say it doesn't hurt now, what are they really saying? It's going to come back. Right. It doesn't hurt. And if it comes back, here again, that's the enemy trying to rob. James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. It's what we taught, you know, taught this morning, first thing. By the way, I don't know if I've said that here, but my wife used to say, you know, you just drive me crazy. I never know if you're talking about the we, you and me, or the we, you and Randy. Or the we, you by yourself. You just use this royal we, and I have not broken that. So, but now I'm going to have a new lady, and we will be we again. So, but you won't know if I'm talking about my wife, Randy, me, or me and Kathleen. So, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine because one of the things that this symptoms would have been that you feel an aching that comes up and in through your teeth. Mm. And it's worked its way up to here.
Okay. Out. Shum. Okay, sorry. I didn't realize it was going to be that loaded. Okay. Yeah, we got you. We got you. We got you. Is that good?
Mm.
All right. Good.
Thank you.
Okay. This is your last chance until tomorrow morning, I guess. And we really don't probably do that, huh? So if you want to ask a question, now's the time.
When somebody reports back and you say, you know, you've been asking people, even if it's 1% or more, and they can't report back 1%, in all honesty, what do you do?
I encourage them to keep getting prayer as much as I can. I mean, I try to, when I'm teaching particularly a workshop like this, I hope you've heard a lot that it's about keep getting prayer, you know. And so there are times when we pray and God doesn't show up for that person at that moment, and we don't understand why. But here again, I've seen it so often when people have gotten back to me and said, yeah, I didn't get healed when you prayed, but the next morning or a week later, that's when it hit. So I can't control that. So I do encourage people to keep getting prayer. I don't like it when they don't get healed. But I'm not the healer. My job, stick out my hand. Does that answer? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, let me go to him because I saw his hand, but I'll come to you. Yes. Well, I travel so much, but I do see healing in my church, and I'm doing a healing workshop just like this in another 2 weeks. And I did this thing exactly a year ago in June, and we saw some really dramatic healing. I find when I do workshops, I'm not on the prayer team at my church. I'm looked at as a father. We have fathers and mothers who've been around a long time. I guess that's the only benefit of being this old. I've seen a lot. And so I don't pray so much at my church when I'm there. It's almost like you know, we recognize that this is a place of refreshing for you. And yeah, we'd like you to speak into what's going on, but we don't put you to work all the time. So I don't pray a lot at my church, but I have seen healing at my church when I do these workshops. But here again, my ministry is more about teaching, and I find that while I do have a healing anointing, early on when I did so much prayer, I saw a lot. Now it's like I'm teaching more and imparting, and I carry an anointing that touches the congregation. So, and I've kind of looked at this. Randy Clark has a really strong teaching gift, but he also has an incredible one-on-one prayer gift. Bill Johnson has a very strong healing anointing, but I think his anointing for bringing a corporate anointing is even stronger. And that seems to be more of what I bring. So a lot of times in the meetings that I take teams on, I see them really step into some things and stuff. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I just keep going after it, whether it's my church or others. But since I don't do a whole lot in my church, it's hard to say that I see less or more in percentage-wise. Okay. You, yeah.
Yeah, this morning you were talking about neck and shoulder injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Being related to trauma.
Yeah.
And I immediately thought of Linda over here that I was praying for last night, and she wasn't here. So, I mean, I didn't know whether to stand up on her behalf.
Right.
And whether you actually have testimony.
Oh, yes.
Of people actually standing in proxy mm-hmm. to someone else and seeing them heal.
We started going after a metal in the body. And so I'm in Pleasanton, Livermore area, the Bay Area of San Francisco. And so we're going after metal, and a woman stands, can I stand in proxy for my mother? She's at home taking care of my child. Okay? So we pray for metal. People testify they've gotten healed. So she gets on the cell phone, calls mom. And she basically started the conversation like, Mom, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing okay. Is anything going on? Well, you know, my arm, the plate was in the arm. My arm's all hot and tingly. And you know, as I move it, I don't have that pain or restriction that I used to have. Mom, I stood in proxy for you, et cetera, et cetera. I've seen that quite often where somebody stands in proxy. I have prayed for prayer cloths or cell phones now. That's the thing. And so the electronic airwaves are like Paul's handkerchiefs. So there's so many times now when we'll get somebody, call them, you know, word of knowledge, call your friend who's in Kansas City or whatever, who's got this problem, put them on the cell phone, and they'll hear the prayers, and many times they'll get healed. A lot of times when I get to go to Colombia or Brazil, I get on the radio stations, which, you know, you saw me at a radio station. And so I get to give words of knowledge. I have people calling in. You know, you just said there was somebody with a blue shirt on standing at the window, and they've got such and such a problem. That's me, and the power of God just hit me, and I got healed all the time. So it literally is like the electronic airwaves. And standing in proxy, I have seen that happen, and I've seen it happen a lot. So, yeah, I believe in it. Yeah. So who is it that you're...
Well, it's Linda over here in the blue.
Oh. So how... It's your neck and shoulders?
My neck and shoulders.
And how is your neck and shoulders?
They're as they were.
Say again?
They're as they were.
They as they were. Yes. Yeah. Well...
It's related to her.
Okay.
Mother.
Yeah. Okay. And, yeah, just lay hands on her. Stand up and lay hands on her. Put your hand at the, like, yeah, no. You put your hand here, like at the base of her neck. Okay? Stretch your hands toward her. So it was some sort of a traumatic event. I don't have to know anything about that, but there's been trauma in your life. Is that true, Linda? Okay. Holy Spirit, I ask that you come and touch Linda right now. from the top of her head to the tips of her toes. I speak to every muscle, ligament, and tendon. Loosen. All the tension and the stress go in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, I break off that spirit of trauma now. Now, Lord, bring your peace into every muscle, ligament, and tendon. Okay, Linda, open your eyes and look at me. Okay, tell me what's going on. Good, bad, and different.
Okay. So the overwhelming feeling at the moment is the sadness, because it's like when my mom was dying coming back.
Okay.
And that's when it stopped.
Yeah. Okay, so sadness in here, how's your neck and shoulders?
It's still crunchy.
Hey, there's a lot of movement, though. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know that I can do that.
I respond to every tension that happens by tightening up again.
Okay. Okay. Hold your hand. Hold your hands out. Now, just put your hands on hers, just like that. Now, just begin to pray the absolute, complete shalom of God. And Linda, just begin to soak in this. You got a bunch of people in this room fighting for you right now. That the Holy Spirit just brings peace. Peace, peace, peace. Overwhelming the absolute, complete shalom of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And see, this is like now a soaking pool. And she's just going to soak in it. Okay, I got room, looks like 4 minutes, because I'm kind of aiming toward four. Yeah. Okay, so one more question. The young lady here, Jasmine, with the high. Yeah.
So, as some people may be aware, others may not, currently in England, it is the week, awareness week of mental health. And I think that this could be a really impactful time. If there's anybody in here who wants to pray for mental health, that should be one thing. And I'm also hoping that we might be able to pray for allergies too, because allergies are a hit home kind of thing.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I think you said just one more. You spoke ill health being at the start from trauma. My trauma is speech.
Mm-hmm.
That's how mine actually.
It manifests, right. Mm-hmm.
So, ideally, I'd have to be finally free and be able to speak fluently.
Yeah.
Which the root was actually.
Okay. What I would suggest.
How do you go about it?
Well, what I would suggest is these two people on the side of you just pray for that. To break off any kind of thing like that, and for their speech to come back. Yeah. Oh, you have one more question? Or are you just praying? Yeah. Okay. Yes. Question.
Could you just speak a little bit about the difference between just the believer's anointing to minister healing, and then the kind of the gifts of the Holy Ghost, like the working of miracles, gifts of healings, and things like that. The distinction between.
Well, the gift, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. Gift of miracles, gift of faith, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, etc. So, I think there can be a gift of faith where you just speak the word, you know it's going to happen. I've done that occasionally, I don't have that all the time. There can be a gift of miracles, and I think that's when the dunamis power of God comes in. I don't know how to control that. I wish I did. I speak on it quite often, but I don't know how to make it happen. But I bring an environment into the church. And then the gift of healing, I do think I was originally birthed into it through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I prayed a lot for healing, and I had a healing anointing. I think my anointing, my strongest anointing now, is more like corporate. I enable people under me to be able to walk into that anointing and maybe operate in a gift that maybe they haven't moved in as strong before, and hopefully rise above me. I don't know if that answers your question, but it's all the gifting. And so miracles is one thing, faith is another, healings are another. And I don't know how to, I know how to do praying for healing because that's where I started. I'm still trying to get into more miracles. I see them, but I'm trying to get into more, and I don't really know how. And I'd really like that gift of faith, and I don't quite know how, but I know it all is tied to the dunamis power. So I pray often that the power.
In what way are you pursuing those things, like in your own prayer life?
Kind of, yeah.
I'm just interested because I'm after it.
Yeah. Yes, I do pray for those things, but I got to tell you, I'm more of the area, kind of like John Wimber when they asked him years ago, well, how do you prepare for a meeting? There are some ministers who kind of closet themselves away. They you won't see them until they're ready to speak. They don't want to come into the congregation, things like that. I obviously don't tend to be like that at all. They asked him, how do you prepare for a meeting? Expecting a very sort of religious kind of answer. And he says, well, you know, I have a Coke and a hamburger. In other words, it's who he was. It's what he carries. And my friend Bill Johnson, who I consider to have an incredible anointing, what he says is, I don't prepare a message. I prepare myself.
Yeah.
So I do listen to worship music. I let the Lord touch me in ways like that. I do read the Word. I'm not like a studier of the Word all the time. I talk to God all the time. I know He must get tired at times, and I do look for signs along the way. I'm getting more and more of that little things that oh, okay, yeah, that was you, etc. But I would not be the one you'd probably want to pattern after, because I just feel like this is who I am,
yeah.
And He uses me in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. How are you doing? Anything?
I think it'll work out.
Yes. Okay. That's cool. Okay. So we're going to finish with this. So if you're dealing with any kind of mental issues, because that's kind of what it was, mental issues in any way, and allergies. Yeah. I want you to stand up. We'll see what happens. Okay, hands out, relax. Those around you, just reach up and touch them. Touch them on the palm. And you're being prayed for, close your eyes, relax. Holy Spirit, we bless what you are doing. Come and touch them. Allergies, go in the name of Jesus. That literally, like pollen counts and things like that, that affect the breathing and the respiratory system, I command those to come back into order. And where there has been problems in structuring of the brain and the neural pathways that have been formed but are not working properly, I command that there will be a clearing, that the mind would focus on exactly what you are saying and doing. We speak life, 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 life. We ask for all allergies to go in the name of Jesus. Now more, Lord, more, more. Power of God flowing in this room, bringing healing in the name of Jesus. More, Lord. More. More. Yeah. We bless what you're doing. Are you being prayed for? And praying. Okay. No, you can't do that. Because you're talking. You're talking. And He's trying to pour into you. Just a little more. Just a little more.